And tonight, we'll trust to take the rest of this chapter. And as we said, and as we were praying, we're going to be carried now forward to the end, to the future, to the end of the 7 years when Israel will acknowledge that the Lord is their Messiah. And it's a wonderful portion here. I believe we'll just take it a verse at a time here tonight. All right, we'll read the 13th verse. And this is, as we said, Jehovah is still speaking here. And this is, he tells Israel now to do this in the 13th verse. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. This is going to be a wonderful time. When the Lord does this, as we said, it's going to be wonderful. And he's going to comfort the people of Israel. And they're going to break forth into singing. Let's go over into the 55th chapter and the 12th verse. We can hardly imagine how this is going to be when they accept their Messiah, because everything in the world is dependent upon their accepting Jesus as their Messiah. The whole world is dependent upon this. 55:12. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now these mountains and hills and the trees all have spiritual applications, but he created all of these. And we read one place in the Gospels where Jesus said if they wouldn't praise the Lord, that the stones would cry out. So the mountains and the hills, the mountains speak of the larger nations and the hills the smaller. If you'll remember when we had the 6th chapter of Isaiah, we read there that one of the seraphim came and touched Isaiah's lips. And Isaiah there is a type of the remnant. The seraphim are a type, are one aspect of the bridal company, the cherubim and the seraphim. They're going to have part in the cleansing of Israel when they sing like they're going to do here. Over in Ezekiel, the 1st chapter, this just enriched me today again as I began to study this, because I love this book of Ezekiel. A lot of people think it's all judgment, but they don't know what the rest of it's in it. It's not judgment, everything. It's wonderful scriptures here. In the 1st chapter of Ezekiel, we read here of the cherubim, which are a type of the bridal company. And in the 4th verse, we read, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, and a great cloud. Now, this is the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And if you remember, we know where the throne of God is situated. There's a psalm that says this. Can you remember where the throne of God is situated? In the sides of the north. Uh-huh. So this great cloud, the Shekinah glory, is going to come out of the north, and with a fire unfolding, or this unfolding in the margin, is flashing continually. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as a color of amber or bronze, and out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures. And this was their appearance, and we won't read it all. But this bridal company is going to come with the Lord and have part in the cleansing of the remnant of Israel. And I've always had I've always felt like the remnant of Israel were just going to be located in the nation of Israel. But that's not so from the Word. The remnant is going to be gathered from all over the world. And we're going to see this tonight. This is at the end of the 7 years when the Lord reveals himself from glory. And the remnant is going to, wherever they are in the world, they're going to be gathered by the Lord. It's not like they're being gathered now. This is going to be the Lord that's going to gather this remnant. It's going to be miraculous. how he's going to bring them from all over the world back to that nation Israel. And we're going to see he's part of this tonight. It's wonderful. And we want to remember in Romans 8, remember it says there that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole world is waiting for the manifestation of us, the sons of God. Those saints, wherever they are, all over the world, that are yielding to him. They're waiting to see us manifested. Because God's, quote, program, his purposes cannot go on until the full overcomers, the sons of God, are manifested to the world. So this is going to be a wonderful time. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read on down here in the 14th verse of Isaiah 49. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. Now this is after they have a little bit, they say this in unbelief, they lament over their suffering. Now they're going to go through a lot of suffering, as we know, during the 7 years. It's going to be a terrible time for the nation Israel. But this is unbelief here. But I also wanted to read over in Jeremiah before we go too far here. Let's go over to Jeremiah 51, and we'll see here the reason for the severe judgments that God sent on Babylon and upon Israel. We know that God is going to judge religious Babylon and political Babylon, and they're going to be everywhere too. But in 51, 56, I want to start before that. Let's read the third verse. This is where we'll start and then go on over. This is the nation. Religious Babylon is headed by the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're going to be the ones that are going to persecute the nation Israel so much. Let's start with the first verse. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and this is religious Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them, that rise up against me a destroying wind. Now notice, when they rise up against Israel, they rise up against the Lord. Because this nation Israel is bound up to the purposes of God. So they're rising up against the Lord. And will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. I'm not going to read all of that, but let's go over to the, get my notes here. The 56th verse, this is what I wanted, especially here. There's a name of Jehovah here that is this precious. The 56th, because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. Now here we see Babylon religious being judged by God because of her persecuting the nation Israel. But the title here of the Lord God of recompenses, is Jehovah, and then I'll spell the second part of that. It's G-M-O-L-A-H. We had this when we studied the titles. Jehovah Gamola, and that means the God of recompenses. Now, we have some wonderful lessons here for us in this. We have some wonderful lessons in this. Jehovah Gomala, the God of recompenses. G-M-O-L-A-H. Now, personally, we all have things come up in our lives, and we have an old man that would love to take vengeance. But the Lord wants us to let him do the avenging. So we leave matters in his hands, and as we do that, he will right our cause and deal with those who treat us unjustly. And the Word of God instructs us just how to act in such circumstances. Let's go over to Romans 12. This is what the Lord is going to do for the nation Israel. They'll be in a situation that they can't take vengeance. The Lord is going to make them so dependent upon him. In Romans 12, And these are very practical lessons for us, and we gather them from the nation Israel. All right, Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Now this takes the Christ life in us to do this. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That verse comes to me quite often. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, if you'll remember that when we studied the book of Romans, vengeance is mine. If we take it in our hands, we're robbing God of something that belongs to Him. He knows what to do at the right time, when to do it, and how to do it. We don't. Therefore, he says, if thine enemy hunger, what do we do? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That heap coals of fire on his head in the little book we have on Eastern sayings. In the East, when someone had an enemy and they were out of coals, they'd put a basket or whatever they used over there, they put coals in this, and they'd carry it on their head over to their enemy, and they would give him this to help them out. That's what it means here. Do something that will help out the person in need, and that was precious to me. All right, any comments now as we go through this, while I bring them out? All right, let's go back to Isaiah. There's so much in all of this. All right, in that 14th verse, we noted that Israel here in their unbelief were lamenting over their suffering, and we can take that too for ourselves. Sometimes the old man would want to make us feel very sorry for ourselves, but the Lord takes us through suffering for a purpose. All right, the 15th verse. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I'm going to read on through the 17th. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Now, this is at the end of the 7 years. Remember this. So we see here that God's love is far greater than the human love. Notice he says in that verse, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. It's far beyond. Now, we have a love for our children, but God's love is so much greater. We can't compare it, really. His love is so wonderful. So if we love him, yet, and he says, yet will I not forget thee. Over in chapter 44:21, now we can have a spiritual love for our children just like he does for us. And this is what the Lord puts in our hearts. In 44:21, he says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Now, we want to keep this in mind as Israel goes through what they're going to go through. The Lord remembers what they're going through, and he's going to take care of every one of them. Praise the Lord. It's going to be quite a time. But notice he says, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hand. That's a wonderful thing. Now, this is the choice company, and I want to go over to Song of Solomon. We go back to Song of Solomon, and the 8th chapter of Song of Solomon. Now, remember at this time, and we'll trust to make this very understandable for everyone, at this time, the bride of the Lamb will be in heaven. The church, in fact, all of the church will be in heaven except the foot portion. They remain on the earth. But the first rank, the second rank, and the third rank will all be in heaven at this time. The bride of the Lamb will be there, the bride, Christ's bride. Who he's talking about here in Isaiah, or excuse me, Song of Solomon, the 8th chapter, is the bride of Jehovah. This will be this remnant of Israel that we were talking about that's going to be gathered from all over. This is the bride of Jehovah, and this is the second lady in this Song of Solomon. If you get Brother Copley's notes on Song of Solomon out, you can read this. In Song of Solomon 8, in the 6th verse, he says, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong, or as certain as death." Remember what Jesus did for the nation Israel? He died for them, didn't he? And this is what he did for each one of us. Love is strong, it's as certain as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave, or Sheol. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Speaks of God, who is a jealous God. And it's not jealousy like we think of it in the natural. This is a spiritual jealousy. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he says, "I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy." Now that's different from natural jealousy. He's jealous over us because he's bought us. We belong to him. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So this speaks here of this choice company of the overcoming saints in Israel that are going to make up the bride of Jehovah. They are this special treasure that we have been having out of Matthew, of the parables. They're the special treasure that's in the earth, and that's in the book of Matthew there. But it's also in Isaiah 62. Now, if you can follow me, I won't go too fast, hopefully. Isaiah 62, this is how they're going to be from the time that God divorced them. He gave them a bill of divorcement because of their unbelief. They were courting the other nations, and they wanted another husband, quote. They didn't want God as their husband, so he divorced them. But here in Isaiah 62, with the 3rd verse, this is how they're going to be. Well, let's start with the 2nd. "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." And this will be the bride of Jehovah. "Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand," or the open, God's open hand, "and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken," or loosed, loosed from him, is the thought there. The nation Israel will be joined to him. They won't be loosed from him anymore. "Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate," or this is the condition, and as well as the name, "but thou shalt be called Hephzibah," and this Hephzibah means "my delight is in her." Hephzibah, this remnant, God's delight is going to be in her then, because they have received his son. And that's the key to all of this. "And thy land Beulah," and Beulah means married. Here again, we see this remnant that's going to be married to Jehovah God. "For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." See the meanings of the names there right in that verse. So this is the bride of Jehovah, who will be an earthly bride. Okay, then let's go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 3, 16 and 17. This is something that many of God's people don't realize, that there is a bride of the Lamb and there's a bride of Jehovah. All right. This is when he's going to gather this remnant. Malachi 3, verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." is fear, just means it has reverence, reverence unto the Lord. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Now this is when he's going to make them up. He's going to gather them from all over the world, this remnant. And I will spare or have compassion on them. As a man spareth, again, he has a special value for these people. This jewels here speaks of the special value, this treasure, this wealth that he's going to gather. He will gather them as a man spareth or gathereth or have compassion on his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There will still be some in the nation Israel at the end of the 7 years who will not be serving the Lord because, or as we're told here, they won't turn to him. During the millennial reign, there's going to be some that we read in later on here in Isaiah that they will grow to be to the age of 100. And then if they don't accept the Lord, then they'll be cut off. But God will give them an opportunity even during the millennial reign of Christ. But the half-hearted ones, and this is mainly what he's talking about, are those like Lot. Remember Lot? Remember Lot's wife? Is what we read in Scripture. But Lot was a worldly Christian. And when those two men, I was reading about them the other day, when those two men, which were two of the Trinity, came to visit him, they had to protect him from the terrible things that were going on. And when God told them, Lot, that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, did Lot want to leave? What did those two have to do to Lot? Remember this? Drag him out. They had to take him by the hand, and they had to pull him out. Now, do you think there's going to be some Christians who don't want to leave this world when the Lord comes? Lot's a type of it. The Lord will have to take him by the hand and say, come on, you've got to go. Judgment's coming on this world. And this is what we don't want to be found. We want to be ready to go. Lord, just take me, because judgment is coming. So we don't want to be a Lot. We want to delight in the Lord. All right, here in our chapter tonight, the walls of Jerusalem, these are something that the Lord, that are around Jerusalem, and they protect this nation, especially the city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah talks a lot about the walls. It's a wonderful, wonderful subject in the book of Nehemiah. But those were their, it was their protection that, and he continually remembers those. All right, in the 17th verse, he says the children, or this word children here is also the builders, are hastening to thee. They come from all over the world. Remember, the all over the world, they're going to come. And they're not going back in unbelief, as we said. They're going to go with faith and with joy in their hearts because they've looked up and they've seen Jesus. Well, this is when he comes again. And he reveals himself, as we read in Zechariah. They're going to look upon him in the glory. And they're going to, how does that read there? They're going to remember it all. They shall look upon me whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. That's Zechariah 12:10. They're going to look up in the glory, and they're going to see this one who's waited all these years, thousands of years, for him to come back and for them to accept him. It's going to be a wonderful time. I brought along this little paper we got the other day that tells about, we read last week about those that are going to be gathered from the land of China in the 12th verse. But I want to just briefly, I will take but a minute here. They're expecting to, Ariel Sharon is expecting to bring back by the year 2020 there are about 230,000 Jews in Argentina. Now, this is how many there are, some of them all over the world. In the Soviet Union, there are hundreds of thousands of Jews. In Brazil, there's more than 100,000. And there's 150,000 in Mexico. There's 600,000 in France, 80,000 in South Africa, and thousands in Ethiopia. So there's just a little example of where the Jews have migrated from over the centuries. And they're all going to be brought, this remnant, from all over the world. It's going to be wonderful. We can hardly imagine it, can we? It's going to be a marvelous day. All right, let's move on then. The 18th verse, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all. I love this. As with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. This is a precious verse. The children whom Zion, the Zion throughout here speaks of the people of Israel, or it will be the bride of Jehovah at this time, that has, she thought that she was without children, that she had hadn't had any more people other than those right there in Israel. But here we read they're going to come in crowds back to her. They're going to come to thee. They belong to her again. The Lord is going to bring them. And when he says here in this 18th verse, as I live, this is Jehovah's pledge. He gives his life. It's Jehovah pledges his life that a time of glory is coming to this nation Israel. He's going to clothe her, this remnant, with these people. They're going to be like ornaments as a woman decks herself with. This is all these people that are going to come. And they're going to bind thee like a girdle, upon a bride, how a bride fastens that girdle around her. The word ornament is jewelry or a headstall, and I liked that. I looked that up in the Strong's. It's the headstall. Now, what do we gather from this? Who is our head? Jesus Christ. Now, in that day, who's going to become the remnant's head? Jehovah himself. They're going to take him again as their head, as her husband. Over in Jeremiah again, in the second chapter, have any of you have thoughts on this? Because this is a marvelous study and it has depth in it. Jeremiah 2:32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. This is how Israel had come, they had become, and they had forgotten. During all these years that there were others of their nation in all of these countries around the world. But when they see them coming back, they'll realize that this barren woman, who she thought she was barren, that as she sees them coming, she knows that there's more of them. And then when they come, in the 19th verse, for thy waste and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction. Remember, this is after the 7 years when this nation is going to have such devastation over there. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. Now, who swallowed up all these nations? Swallowed up Israel? Was it all these other nations? See, they just took them in. And as we said, all over the world, they're everywhere. But when they get back, and I don't know exactly how far across in width the nation of Israel is, but it's very narrow. And that's why they say here, this place is too narrow for us. We're going to need more room. Well, what's the Lord going to do? He's going to make more room. He's promised them more room. Let's go over to Genesis 15. There's countries like Jordan. I believe Iran is part of them. I looked on the map a little bit today. I didn't have much time to do it, but I looked some. I believe Iran is in this part of this country because, as we're going to read here, it's going to be from the river Egypt clear over to the river Euphrates. And I don't think I have a very good map here for this. All right, this is a covenant that God gave to Abram, 15:18 of Genesis. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And he names the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. But all of this land that they possessed is what belongs to Israel. And many of them today are living on this land that God is going to give the nation Israel. That's the beginning. But if you want to read more on this, I don't believe we're going to turn to this, but I'll give you the scriptures. In Ezekiel 47, we're told there in verses 13 to 23, we're told of the boundaries of this land. Ezekiel 47 and verses 13 to 23. I've got our study book out on it, on Ezekiel. And it also names them in the book of Numbers 34 and verse 13 on. Now, this is the land that they're going to occupy, because they're going to need it when all of these people come from all over the world. It's going to be a wonderful day for this nation. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be great to see the Gentiles serve her. That's, today she's serving the Gentiles, and it's going to be turned around in that day. It's going to be wonderful. All right, any questions now or thoughts on it? If I go too fast, why, slow me up. I get so full of this, it just thrills me. Because I'm like John, and I thought about Ezekiel so often too. How the Lord transported him to this time. And Isaiah, of course, here too. And I was thinking today, and I told Glenn, this book of Isaiah, there's such marvelous things the Lord revealed to this man. And some of it he didn't quite understand, or, you know, because we read in Peter how they longed to know some of the words that they wrote. They didn't understand it. They had landmarks to go by, but it wasn't revealed unto them. And once in a while, Isaiah would put a verse in like, "Oh my Lord," and then he would say something. And I thought, this man, Isaiah, that has given so much. Look at the wealth in this book. It just goes, it's marvelous to me. But you know, they didn't want to hear this, did they? Mm-hmm. And we're told biblical history, what did they do to this man to silence him? They saw him, he was sawed in sunder. We remember in Hebrews 11, there were some that were sawn asunder. They killed him. They didn't want to hear what he was saying. This nation Israel. But God had these words put down that God gave to Isaiah, and they're going to hear them, this nation Israel. All of their future is told about in this book. I think it's marvelous. It's wonderful to be able to understand it. All right. The 20th verse, he says, "The children which thou shalt have," that means all of these that come in from all these countries, "after thou hast lost the other," see, they thought they were gone, "shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. I need more room." And we see them coming back there today, and this is going to be different. This is going to be in a spiritual, they will have accepted the Lord. "Then shalt thou say," and here Zion, or the people of Israel are speaking, "then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these?" That is the bridal company, especially, is speaking this. "Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Where come from? Behold, I was left alone there in that nation. These, where had they been?" Isn't that a question? Quite a verse, isn't it? She was left desolate. She was left barren because her husband left her. God divorced her. So she finds herself here surrounded all of a sudden by a multitude of her children that have come in. And so she wonders who hath begotten these, or the word there, begotten, is born. Born, B-O-R-N-E, to her, these children. Now these are, again, people that have accepted Jesus as their Messiah. Who bore them? Who brought them up? That they'd been carried away as captives in exile? Who brought them up? She hardly recognizes them. Are they really Jewish? Now remember where they all come from. Remember last week we had, there's some in China. Are they going to look like they're Jewish people? There's going to be some from Brazil. There's going to be some from Ethiopia. Yes, there are black Jews, half Jew. There will be many. There'll be intermarried. There are many intermarried. Do they look? I don't recognize them, but they will be of Israel. That's the important thing. They will be a new creation. That's going to be marvelous, isn't it? Oh my, we see some of these people today and we wonder, are they really Israelites? Well, she says here, I was left alone. Where had they been? Well, they were in the four corners of the earth. That's where they were. And here the Lord just brings them back. That's going to be marvelous. All right, then shalt thou say, well, we read that one, the 22nd verse. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to thy people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, your Gentile kings, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for thee. And this is the purpose why God brings them back, that he is going to not be ashamed of them anymore. It'll be marvelous. He's going to set up a standard or an ensign to summon them all back to Jerusalem. The ensign here, no doubt, is Jesus Christ himself, who will return to help his earthly people. It's compared to a military standard that will come. Jesus will come, and at this time he will shorten that battle of Armageddon. Remember in Matthew 24, we're told that Jesus said, except those days be shortened, there would no flesh be saved. It's going to be so terrible. Let's go to the 62nd chapter of Isaiah and read from verse 10 through 12. This is going to be a marvelous time. Aren't you glad we're going to be up there and be able to see it? We'll be in the glory at this time, up there with the Lord. I'm just going to insert this. You know, last Sunday the Lord gave us such a special meeting. And to me it was special, it was precious. And as we were going driving home and to eat, the thought came to me, you're with the people of the Lord, and you just don't want to go back out into the world. You want to be with in this holy atmosphere continually. And I thought, well, that's what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. Continually, we won't have to combat the things of this world anymore. Won't have the battles that we have now. It's going to be wonderful. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates. This means to remove the obstacles for spiritual blessings. This is the thought here. This connects with the cities of refuge, which we have in the book of Leviticus. They were to take out all of the stones out of that path. And this is a thought here. We won't go into that. But prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Take out every hindrance that would, remember there in Leviticus, when they ran to these cities of refuge, and there were, 12 of them, if I remember right, And when they had to flee to these, all of these stones, hindrances, had to be taken out of the road. There were those that were ordained to do this, so they could get to these cities of refuge. The city of refuge, of course, is Christ himself. Then he says, lift up a standard or a banner for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. And you know who that is? His reward? That's the bridal company. That's with him. This is the not only the bridal company, but it's the church. It's going to be with him. In Revelation 19, when he comes out of heaven there and to face the nations, his armies follow him. That's the same here. They're going to follow him. His reward is with him and his work before him. He's going to have a work to do when he comes out of heaven, Revelation 19. And they, the Gentiles, shall call them, or them here is Israel. They'll call them the holy people. Won't that be a day? The redeemed of the Lord, they'll call him. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. That's Jerusalem. It's going to be quite a change, isn't it? Can you imagine that? That city today, and I'm sure we've all seen the pictures on television of that city that they're fighting over it, and the PLO wants part of it, and Israel wants part of it. It belongs to them. And then they've got that the Dome of the Rock, that's there. All these nations, and that's Islamic, they own that. See, all the nations of the world want part of this city of Jerusalem. They're not going to have it. Won't that be a wonderful day when the Lord gives it to this people who it belongs to? All right, in the 23rd verse, the kings and the princesses. The kings become their shelterers. The princesses shall sustain them. They'll devote themselves for caring for Israel. Now, these are the royalty, as we would say, of the Gentile nations. They'll pay homage to them, and they'll subject themselves to them. Instead of oppressing Israel at this time, they are going to submit to her, because she's going to be the head of the nations and not the tail. Do we all understand this? Brianna, do you understand this, honey? This is the day that Israel is going to be honored by all the world, because she will have accepted her Messiah. And that's, as we said, is the key to the rest of the nations being blessed. After they accept their Messiah, Jesus himself, then the rest of the nations will be blessed. Let's go to Psalm 72:9. The scriptures are so full of this time. Aren't you glad we'll be with the Lord? Psalm 72 and the 9th verse. Let's start in this with the 7th. All of this is wonderful, but 7th verse. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. I can understand this because, as no doubt most of you have seen the pictures of Afghanistan and Pakistan, the terrible terrain over there. It's a terrible land, really. And then let's go to Micah, the little prophet Micah, the 7th chapter, I believe we want. Micah 7:17. Some of these little prophets are hard to find, but it's right after Jonah, if you can find Jonah. Micah 7 and the 17th verse. I'm going to start with the 16th verse. All of this speaks of that time too. The nation shall see and be confounded or ashamed at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. Now these are the nations that are going to come up around Jerusalem. But they shall lick the dust like a serpent. Now think of this. After they're defeated, they shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. This is man. ungodly man. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. And I can imagine when he comes out of that glory and they see this man out of the glory come down, and man who tries to fight against him, he's going to be, and I think a man, you know, we're all going to have to stand before him one of these days, regardless of who we are, that we could stand there with peace in our heart, knowing we've done his will. Praise the Lord. In that latter part of the 23rd verse of our lesson, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. This is the reason God brings them back. He says, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. They shall not be ashamed that wait for thee. You know, patience is one thing that our old creation doesn't have. But let's go over to the little book of James. I believe it's right before Hebrews or after Hebrews. It's after Hebrews. I found something here the other day when I was reading. It's in the Scofield Bible, if you have a Scofield, in the margin. But in James 5 and the 7th verse, now this is speaking to us too. He says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Who's the husbandman? Isn't that Jehovah, God himself? And hath long patience for it, until he received the early, that was the Pentecost, time of Pentecost, and the latter rain. And this will be in the future. But what I want to dwell upon here is this little word, be ye patient unto the coming of the Lord. In the margin in the Scofield, it says, be long patient or suffer with long patience. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Be long patient or suffer with long patience. Exercise patience is a thought here. In the endurance of all that is difficult and adverse. We have a lot of things that are difficult and adverse in our pathway. That we exercise patience in until the Lord's time for deliverance. These trials and the sorrows that we go through down here, they're going to pass. But what they bring forth is joy in us. This is the result of them. They bring joy and peace as we allow him to work patience in our hearts. Romans 5, we can go right back to that wonderful verse. All right, let's finish this chapter. 24th verse of Isaiah 49. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? And yes, it's going to be. The mighty here will be the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet. They will have taken captives. These are those who are in the right, the righteous ones, whom God will, he's going to snatch them away from the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're going to be delivered. But thus saith the Lord, even the captains of the mighty shall be taken away. Captives of the mighty shall be taken away. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. This is speaking of the Antichrist. All of these that are taken captive will be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. This speaks of the Lord delivering Israel in the battle of Armageddon. The Lord's going to contend with the Antichrist and with Satan himself. He's the only one that can do this. He's going to those that oppress them, he is going to take care of them. Praise the Lord. And then in the 26th verse, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. Now think of this verse. There'll be a time, the future. And they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. Now, most of us haven't seen real war. Now, some of us went through World War II, but not in this country. We saw the effect of it over there. No one has seen anything like this yet. And all flesh shall know that I am the Lord, and that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now keep in mind, saints, we're going to be with the Lord at this time. We won't be down here. the Lord's going to deliver all of us out of this time. But when Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet come, and they will come after the bridal company is caught up, they're going to begin to take over this world. And then at the Battle of Armageddon, all of them are going to come against Jerusalem. But he's going to intercede for the nation Israel. They will be oppressing this nation because God's whole plan and purposes for the earth are wrapped up in this nation Israel. Now, let's go to Revelation on some of these, where these armies, what's going to happen to them. Revelation 14, and we don't have to be here, where we won't be here. Revelation 14 and the 20th verse. This is how terrible that battle's going to be. There's never been anything like it yet in the world, but it's coming. This is what the Word says. And dear ones, let's take this serious, because we're very near to this time. When we see what the nations are being drawn into over there now, and that scripture just keeps going through my mind in Ezekiel, that he's putting hooks in the jaws of these nations to pull them over there. And I believe we're right at this time when the Lord's going to bring all these to pass. All right, this is about this time that let's read from the 17th verse. The earth will be reaped in the 16th verse. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven. Notice it's up there. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar. Now these aren't angels. These are the bridal company, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Now remember, these are wicked people. These are people that have had the opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior, and they have rejected him. God loved his Son and still loves his Son, and he gave his Son to redeem man. But if man doesn't want him, they're going to be judged by God. So in the 19th verse, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth, that would be the Israel, and cast it into the winepress of the wrath of God. That's the Battle of Armageddon. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles. Now we know how high that is, by a space of 1,600 furlongs. This is 200 miles. And it's from Jerusalem to Bozrah. I have written in my Bible, from Jerusalem to Bozrah. This is how terrible it's going to be down here. Then in the 16th chapter of Revelation, this is one of the reasons God takes care of these people, because they have done this, as we're going to read here in this sixth verse of Revelation 16. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now, what during the dark ages, there were many, many saints that were put to death by religious Babylon, by Catholicism. They were put to death. Martin Luther, William Tyndale, we could go on and name many, many thousands of them, were put to death because they gave out God's word. Well, this system is going to receive this because of what they have done. And to the prophets in the Old Testament, all of them were put to death, most all of them. But at this time, all the world is going to know that Jesus is Israel's Redeemer. He's their Savior. He's their kinsman Redeemer. This Redeemer here means he's their kinsman Redeemer. He is of that lineage, and he's the mighty one of Jacob. I like that. The mighty one of Jacob. And this is Adonai Jehovah. Adonai speaks of Jesus Christ, Jehovah. All right, in closing, I'm just going to read a very brief little paragraph out of one of our study books it was so good and I couldn't pass it up. Now we know today that there are all the leaders of the nations are getting together. They have meetings all over the world. But listen to this. All the efforts of the combined nations to establish peace and safety in the earth, however sincere the motive, however good the intention may be, are foredoomed to failure. It's written here. They won't succeed. The world's last great conflict, in which the Jewish question will be uppermost, will see the fulfillment of the scriptures, which make known that righteousness can be established in the earth only by the personal advent of Christ in judgment upon the foes of God and in the deliverance of his people. And I wrote after that, amen. I like to write in my study, read them, and I just get so thrilled with some of the comments that they make. Praise the Lord. All right, any questions or thoughts? Do we understand all this now? That they'll know why they're burnt to death. They're going to stand before the Lord. And we read that they're going to have to give an account of themselves before the Lord. Every individual that's ever lived is going to stand before him. The saints will stand before him for rewards. We won't stand there to be judged, because our judgment will have passed. It's passed the minute we believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior. We won't go through that judgment.